Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. Your hosts for today, Ivan Pineda, Christian Rosendo, and everyone's favorite cowboy, Dylan Jimenez. Let's start the show.
Welcome to a very special edition of a very late edition of the podcast. We got everyone here today. We even got to manage to get Mr. Dylan himself. And as you guys can hear in the background, our beloved AJ is having quite the discussion.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing great tonight. This is it's been such an eventful year. Methyl Day. AJ, you look pretty nice with your little rebel shirt on. Was that your mom in the background?
Yeah, it was my mom in the background.
Hi, mom.
Hi, AJ's mom.
And you wanna look?
Oh, there you go.
AJ did not let us get the full response there, but nice to hear that you guys are all here. My beloved cowboy, how are you?
I'm doing okay, man. I'm just waiting for the riots to break out.
I know, right? Well, any minute now, I'm sure either America is going to go into quite the panic frenzy, or we're just going to continue to party throughout the rest
of
the
year.
We'll see what's up in the air. But yeah, this is going to be fun. We're just going to talk. And first stuff on the table is, I want to ask you guys a very, very peculiar question. No one would expect what I'm about to ask any of you, but it just came to my mind and I thought, you know what? I guess it's a very good place to start. Sets kind of the table as to where we're all at. And I'd want to ask each and every one of you, as far as the start of the new year in regards to 2020, I'm sure all of us had set kind of goals and places we wanted to be. Where do you guys... From what you guys had in mind at the beginning of 2020 to where we are now, just about a month and a half away from ending the year, have you guys reached any of your New Year's resolutions, or did you guys even imagine yourselves in this, not even thinking about a pandemic, but in a personal level? Are you guys where you guys exactly wanted to be from when the start of the year was?
Who goes first?
I'll go first. I'll say no because I thought we'd be on through the end by now, but that's not a reality.
There is an opening now.
Wait, there is an opening.
I mean, right? Nico has left.
Yes.
And so I think now it's up in the air. We'll see what Tudena does, but it would be nice for them to do something with the English community.
I thought you were talking about the other thing.
Oh, no, we can't talk about the other things just yet.
Oh, okay. Never mind them. So, AJ, how about you, buddy?
I have really no clue, to be honest, because everything that's happened, I would not have expected it. Like, I would not have expected myself to be on a podcast to begin with you guys. So, there's that. I guess I could just say no. So.
Okay. Interesting. Dylan. I have a follow-up for every single one of you guys afterwards.
Okay. I usually don't set New Year's resolution goals myself. Yeah. I mean, like, in all honesty, I think about them, but I just never pursue them because I just kind of feel in a sense that I won't do it anyways. I actually did to some extent for one. I kind of wanted to read more. And when I meant read more, I meant books. But I've actually just been reading a lot of other different stuff in terms of, like, articles. Been doing some research here and there, so I guess in some sense I have been reading a little bit more. But yeah, I don't really say nothing. As far as being here where I am right now, I know you kind of said don't look at the pandemic, but I kind of am because you know I started my journalism career off, three months before it even hits, and I'm already getting into it, and then I'm getting into protests, you know, that happened here in Midland, and obviously the president coming to the Permian Basin too. So, I mean, that's something I didn't expect to cover. So, it's been a roller coaster of a ride so far.
I think it's fair to say that for all our lives, it's been a real roller coaster, whether you're on this podcast or whether you're just listening to this. I think it's a matter of just trying to deal with it, cope with it. I mean, AJ is a perfect example. I think AJ had no idea he would even be on this podcast right now talking to us. And it's just the crazy adventures of life, right? Where they take you and different paths and everything. On a personal note, I do think that I don't necessarily feel like I reached where I wanted to be, but I do think that, surprisingly enough, life has found a way to make things a little bit just a lot different, that you still are happy with the outcome. So, I mean, you know, it's just a, I think you just got to take it day by day, and we see where we are right now. But are you guys content? Or do you guys think that there could have been more done?
There definitely could have been more done. But I just want to just touch back on what Dylan said, how me and him kind of agreed how we don't make any like New Year's resolutions. And I think now more than ever, I'm not going to make them anymore. Only because in the sense that this year has taught us that we can't expect, you know, things to go our way. You know, we can plan it out. We can say, yeah, okay, by this time I'll try to reach this and this and this and this and that. But there's always unexpected, you know, curveballs thrown at you. And like you said, Ivan, I think you just got to take everything day by day and hope, pray to God that what you had set for that year or for that month, for that week, goes at least 90% of your way. Because honestly, with this world and how it's everything's been going, it's kind of hard to kind of achieve everything now.
I think if you want to put it into perfect context, I think this podcast itself is a perfect example. I mean, and I'm just not talking about the podcast itself, but I'm talking us, the group in the podcast. We had such a huge trip planned this year for Mexico, and it just all went down, and we never expected it. But, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. But I think it's a good place to start. Anyone got any follow-ups or anything to keep the conversation going?
Yeah, just kind of said, like you said, if we're content, I kind of am, you know, because, like I said, you know, I started my journalism career, heading into the new year. Actually, I started my job a week before the new year. Then obviously, you know, we get into the new year and it's like fresh. And I kind of, Christian was saying too, you know, you never know what's going to happen. But I remember waking up on my birthday, January 1st, and, you know, all of a sudden you see trending on Twitter, you know, World War III. And I'm just like, what the hell is going on?
Oh, yes.
And so I just think, you know, I've been fairly content with the job so far. I've been having fun. I wouldn't say, you know, I expected anything because I didn't know what to expect getting into this. So it's just kind of been a process and almost like a day by day kind of thing for me. Like, what am I going to do today or what's next for me kind of thing. So I'm content overall so far in the year.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. AJ, I'm throwing it to you, my friend. And just because you're new, and I think that it'd just be fair to get to know you a little bit more, because I think whilst maybe a lot of people don't really know much about you, and we're still learning more about you day in and day out. I know you had quite the big week. You've gotten yourself a driver's license now. I know Dylan's very happy with that because you're gonna be able to chauffeur him around.
I just realized we're not live.
We're not.
Yeah, we're not live.
No. We're not live.
No.
Well, we might have to do some post editing after this. You never know what we're about to say. That cannot be said.
just look at our private chat.
Exactly. Oh, God. I haven't even looked at it just yet. Oh, God. My goodness. Well, I mean, it is an after hours episode, so we'll see how that goes. But talk to me, AJ. Tell me a little bit more about yourself for the people that don't know about you. Anything you wanted to have out there as a disclaimer?
Well, I'm currently a college student, still in college, and doing kinesiology. So I would have never really expected for me to do something, you know, to be a part of a podcast and talking about my favorite team in the entire world, which I would have never expected. I originally made my account of the Blue Creams just to cover stuff for America. Just, you know, something I like to do is like as a side hobby, just to get away from the stress of real life. And then one day you decide to you know, hit me up, invite me to the podcast, and then who would know, a month or two later I would end up becoming a part of the team, which is something I would have never expected. Really already telling my mom, like, oh shit, look, I'm a part of the Eagle Eye podcast now, talking about everything for America. So it's really a nice thing to just be a part of this amazing podcast. Just, I would have never expected it. Just think about, all I had in mind was just, okay, another semester of college, classes, get through it, and get myself closer to graduation. But I would have never thought, concerned that with everything that has happened this year, maybe to me, maybe it was just a sign for things to come. Just, you know, with COVID and all that stuff, I'm taking all this time to just stay home and just think about some of the things that I want to do. Maybe get myself a PC, try to do some exercise, or just gain to be able to watch more of the beautiful game of soccer. So I just get to see more, just watch more games about it in general, just learn a thing or two every single day. And then I feel like with just always covering the soccer matches, I felt like that, you know, who knows if a podcast team will ever pick me up one day just to talk about soccer. And then, like as I mentioned before, you guys came on. And then as well, I'm officially now just writing articles for a website, Express Football, in Spanish, talk about the New York Rebels, which is something I completely would have never expected as well. Guy just came up and just followed me one day, slid right in my DMs like 9:30 a.m. in the morning. Go. Like, hey,
there you go.
Something.
Shot point, his was, shot.
Damn, he slid in your DMs like that, man.
Yo, he just slid my DMs and like, hey, yo, you want to run for my website? I'm like, I was too tired at that time because it was at 9:30. I just looked at it. That's just put my phone down. I'm like, I'm going to back to sleep. I'm gonna wake up later.
Ooh, AJ said I'm gonna ghost him.
I straight up did. Like for that moment, I was like, I'm too tired to read this. I don't know what it says. I thought it was saying something like, you want to work for a website. I was like, wait, what? I have no experience. What do you mean? Yep.
Those messages are always sketchy.
But then when I woke up later, then he's like, would you like to write for a website? I was like, oh, okay, like, what am I going to write about? Because I tell him right from the get-go, but writing in Spanish, just feel like my writing in Spanish is okay. It could do some work, but the guy's like, we'll work on it. It's fine. Don't worry. And then I would expect 5 articles in, I'm still writing it for this website. So I'm like, okay, I guess things are all working out as I expected. So, yeah, crazy. Who knew someone in exercise science would just be writing stuff for a website? I even looked at other authors on the website for curiosity, and every single one is like sports journalism. I'm like, am I the only dude here that's not doing sports journalism? Make them scratch like, how the hell did you get, how did you get this? So just wow,
that's cool, man. So 5 articles in, you're doing a good job. Dylan would have fired you by now, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, man, if you're gonna write, you gotta produce every day, not just once a week.
Hey, homie just said for me to write two articles a week. I'm like, okay, I can do this. At this rate, like you mentioned, I think the first mistake I did, you would have been like, come see me at my office. I'm like, oh, I'm getting fired. It's over for me.
Oh, man. Shout out to our good friend, Mr. Brian, who's always calling people into his office. It's never a fun experience, but, you know, he's got to do what he's got to do to kind of monitor the Twitter community. Definitely the principal's office right there. Dylan, you who have done it and have attested to being able to go through college and also talk about this team you love in a podcast, any pointers for AJ and just anyone out there trying to do kind of what we're doing and try to balance school and life at the same time?
I don't know. I've been out of school for a while.
Okay. You've been for like, what, a year?
Yeah, almost next month to be here already. Yeah. Damn, time flies.
Look at that. I know,
girl. Shit. Pointers. I don't know. I complained to you a lot that I was stressed out about things.
Yeah, I guess it's always nice to have someone to complain to. It's important.
Trust me. Indeed. Nah, earlier in the semester, I was stressing out over physics. I straight up cried one night because I was like, I really do not want to withdraw from this class. Because every other kinesiology class I had, I immediately said I can get an easy A or just like a B plus. I'm like, with no problem. Then physics, I'm like, let this not be the class I straight up need to withdraw from. Just because of Aaron's, I straight up had to like talk to one of my friends like, yo, I'm stressed out. I dare feel like crying right now.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but does physics have to do with like gravity? Like, where am I going with this? You know how that famous experiment that they did with like the apple?
Yeah, Isaac.
Newton.
Yeah, Newton. Uh huh. Yeah, that's what physics is essentially all about. Like all the different laws that surround the entire universe pretty much. And I complained about this to you before. I was like, why do I need physics if I'm an exercise science major? But then in reality, I was like, oh, this actually has some way of tying into what I'm doing because I'm taking a biomechanics course as well. And that has physics to do with it. And seeing like how the movements are involved in sports, I'm kind of like, oh, shit, that's actually involved in it. Okay, I should stop complaining. Same thing with me from chemistry when I complained about that. Just like, why do I need this? But then I realized it's actually key in some of the things that I'm learning for like about the human body. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll shut up.
I was never a good science guy. I took chemistry three times in high school. That says a lot.
Three times? I barely could take it one semester.
Well, at least you passed, but
I mean, who said I passed?
The only ups, and whenever I tell people this story, and I'm just like, the only upset about taking chemistry three times is that I got to make ice cream three times throughout the school year. So
that was the only
positive. Yeah. Tell me, took it three times, passed it the third time. You know, third time's the charm. I still don't. I don't know anything about the periodic table.
Yeah, I don't. If you guys can tell me things you remember from high school, I would love to know. Like right now.
Like, can you give me an example?
Well, just name any. Okay, name something from I don't know from history class that you might remember.
Oh, I was good at history. I mean,
were you good at history? Yeah,
that was
pretty
good at history.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right? Yeah.
What was the question?
Did you pass lunch?
Nah, I failed lunch, man.
Failed gym.
You failed gym too.
No, I couldn't fail athletics. Because there was one time my sophomore year, I think. Yeah, my sophomore year. I had chemistry like right before athletics. And the thing is, we only had like 5 minutes between classes. And so in those 5 minutes, I had to leave class, run down to the field house, get dressed, and like be in my spot like before we started workouts. And my lab partner, which she's still my friend to this day, she kind of screwed me over and like left, and I got left behind to clean everything up from our lab we're doing that day. And so I therefore ended up being late like seconds to get to my spot for athletics. And so after that, I had to get like a 10-pound dumbbell. I had to hold it over my head, and I had to run like two laps around the track.
I don't know how high school was for you guys, because over here in my high school, you didn't do PE for I think 2 years. That's all it requires for you to do PE. Was what we,
I don't think it was PE either. Yeah,
but you could, if you did sports, then there was no need for that, right? So you didn't even have to take that class. So you just, for me, it was just the last period would be sports, which would be soccer at that point, right? So I don't know how it worked for you guys. Did you guys, was it also too?
Well, here every, we go by like marking periods in the sense. So like the first one would be like September to like December, and the next one would be like January to June or whatever. So in each marking period, you need to have a gym class. But like Ivan, to your point, you could be excused from that class if you're on the sports team. And to my luck, also my teacher at the time was my coach. So at the time, I the other kids would just do whatever, and then I would just stay back, and we just talk about like how's it going, or like our next game or something like that, or the game previous, like what we could do better to improve or whatever. So for me, overall, especially my junior year and my senior year, were better experiences in PE. Only because I really didn't do much. I just sat next to the coach, and we just talked about soccer all day long. So
there you go. That must be nice. Long.
Yeah.
See, for us, it was you had five periods because the school day was broken down to six periods. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I had eight until my senior year when I only had seven.
Nice. Yeah, I know once you're a senior, you can cut that down. But I had it was six periods. So then for a majority, it was five periods for me. And then that sixth period would be going to soccer. So our thing, even you could have been in a sport all year round. And even though your sport wasn't playing all year round, you still went to that class. And for us, when it was in season, obviously, if it wasn't game day, you were training. And then if it wasn't your season, and you were doing like preseason conditioning.
God, oh, that's that the terrible. Worst. Oh, dude, that was terrible. Worst. Oh my God.
So
probably the worst part of being on the sport in high school was
that's
preseason.
The worst part about a sport, yeah. In general.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it was so bad. Oh my goodness, bro. The laps, bro. The fuck. The
Hey, it's a late night edition. I'm dude, just gonna tell you this straight man. Up. It was terrible. I remember one time we lost, and the coach just looked at us after the game and said, "You guys are gonna pay for this tomorrow."
Oh, damn.
And Jesus Christ, did we pay for it? Like, we had a couple people throw up. I remember it was funny because, like I told you, it was like sixth period, right? So the bell would ring and all these kids would be getting out of class, and the field was kind of right there. Like, people could walk by, pass by, and see whatever. So once the bell rung, he had us all do kind of this weird crab walk whilst everyone was passing, dude. So it was like you had to do your crab walks while, and you know, all your friends were coming by looking at you. And you know, at that age, it's kind of like, what the hell are they doing? Yeah, exactly. I know it's a little humiliating because I remember that day. I definitely, it was hard to walk the next couple of days, but it was fun. You know, it's the little things you take away from that you're just like, you know what? They're grown moments.
Being on a high school team was probably the best thing I ever could have done in my life. Like, just the bonding moments, just like everything, the brotherhood and all that stuff. It honestly, I wouldn't replace it. That's probably one of the only reasons why I miss high school. It was because of just being on the team. I'm pretty sure all of you can relate.
For me, I actually never participated in sports. Really? But we did have clubs. So like, after school, there was a soccer club. So, and the most of people that were in there were on the team. So, as you mentioned before, it's one of those memories I like, because usually I will meet with those same guys right after. Because, like, one of my friends, because in this building we were in, it was separate into four different high schools. But usually it would just be like, hey, you want to go out and just play soccer by one of the parks? Like, sure. And all the guys that were there were on the soccer teams. It's just one of those, like, it's a nice thing that it's one of the best things as well, because you get to just meet new people and you get to communicate by playing the sport that you both love. So
definitely.
It was just perfect. But yeah, no, actually, when you mentioned in sports, I feel that's one of the things I did regret never taking in high school. You don't always have people saying you should take it, because I started playing soccer like in the eighth grade, just like outside. Like, I was okay, but maybe this could have been a point where it's like, try it out in high school. I may not be the best, but either way, it's like spots are open. You can play, like, regardless of what it is. So I feel like I should have really taken the opportunity, but I can only imagine like how it would have been if I actually was on a sports team in high school.
Let me ask you this, because Dylan, I know you didn't play soccer, you played football, but now knowing what you know now and maybe kind of assessing your talent level, do you think that if you were to go, do you think that you've developed better as a player? Do you think that you're better now than you were when you first tried out for the very first time in high school?
I don't know. That's a good question.
You know, because I'm gonna put it on a personal level. I think the goalkeeper that I am today is much better than the 13-year-old goalkeeper that tried out for high school.
I mean,
you know,
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, you should not play that position.
14-year-old. I'm 13, I was still in middle school, but I go back and I think of like, okay, what was it like? What was it like, right? Going through those nerves of having to try out, of having to because I was kind of going up against other people that had a proper training. They were playing in club, you know. And I didn't have the technique that I know today, like setting yourself perfectly, knowing what that goalkeeper ready position is, being on your toes, all that stuff, conceding 10 goals, like Dylan said.
Let's go, Choa.
So then I go back and I think, you know what? I think it's like, it's interesting the way that, you know, you play sports during high school, and then you know, if you're fortunate enough to play outside of it too, and then after high school, you know, to get to that point where you are today and being like, you know, I've developed, I've grown, and I think I'm a much better player than I was then to now. It's a really truly cool thing.
No, definitely.
But, yeah. No, I mean, because me playing football, I mean, especially being in Texas, you would think I'd be playing it since like I was born. Well, in all honesty, I played flag, but I didn't put on shoulder pads and hit anybody till seventh grade.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was a weird transition, you know, but just to, I guess, kind of like you in a sense, you know, I came in with like no skill. I didn't know what I was doing necessarily. So I just to kind of see myself grow and develop from seventh grade to my senior year, you know, it's really cool to see because I got to fit in with obviously my friends I have now and, you know, graduated with and everything. So building that brotherhood with them, like Christian was talking about, you know, that's just something that I'll never forget about because what we all had was really special. Especially coming from a small town, too. With I think what some people find interesting is like if you don't play just one sport in a small town, you play almost every sport. You play basketball, you play baseball, you know, you play things like that. So I mean, I just think it's really cool because you're basically playing the sport year round, you know, with the same group of guys.
That is an interesting thing, you know, And I urge anyone who hasn't already to reach out to this man to ask him, how on earth did he switch from all those American sports to come love the beautiful game? It truly is quite a story, especially from a small town like Dylan is from. It is quite the story. And I mean, like I've mentioned it time and time again, we wouldn't be here without him. So, you know, thank the soccer lords that that they convinced them. But yeah, no, high school is definitely an interesting thing. I mean, obviously with sports and everything, but then, you know, you take sports out of it and you think about the actual kind of life that is high school. Cause it is just kind of, it does feel like your whole life at one point, you know, social groups and all that stuff. You know, do you guys still have some kind of, communication with those who you would surround yourselves with most of the time, or has life done what life always does and just kind of faded you guys away?
A few, definitely, yeah. People that well, how about this? We'll take it back actually. So this is a story I actually like enjoy telling. So my first day actually of freshman year, it was eighth period, and.
Jesus Christ, how do you guys have eighth periods?
Yeah, I know. It was bad.
That's wild.
So I had all my soccer stuff on because for the high school, the you know, you tryouts are in August, like before the school year starts, right? So obviously I made the team or whatever, right? So whatever. And then I walk into class and then with all my stuff on and I sit down and then the kid in front of me says, oh, hey, you're on the soccer team, I assume, right? I'm like, yeah, I am. And he was like, how'd you get on there? And we just started making a conversation. Now, funny enough, we're still friends to this day, but that was actually probably one of my first friends I ever made in high school. And we're still friends today, which I'm happy about. But I guess to your point, do we still people? Honestly, people that I interact with everyday life, not so much. I mean, we keep in contact, say hi, you know, what's up, like once in a while. But people that I communicate with almost every single day, was from the soccer team. So yes and no in the sense to answer your question.
Interesting. It's just interesting the way that life kind of just
definitely,
you know, happened, yeah, for everyone.
100%.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with Christian in a sense. I've actually kind of kept in contact with a lot of people, you know, one of my best friends that I went to college with, and you know, the other girl I told you about chemistry, when she kind of screamed me over, you know, I still talk to them. I still talk to them to this day. And, you know, just coming from a rural, small town out here in West Texas, you know, it's very humbling, to be honest with y'all. I think, you know, another interesting thing, you know, I've always told y'all that people find about it, you know, I had to go 30, 40 minutes just to go watch a movie whenever y'all probably just used to go in about 10, 15 minutes down to the theater and watch it, you know. I just never had anything like that. I hear, you know, I would always be, you know, driving out in the county, you know, driving these dirt roads, you know, going to different places, going out to the lake, you know, walking at Walmart at 1, 2 a.m. in the morning because there's nothing to do. it's pretty humbling because you find things and you see things different. A lot, and you kind of realize the people more to you know, to meeting your friends, you know, how to hang out, you know, and, you know, just finding unique things to do in the sense, you know, without having to go to like a movie or something like that.
Yeah, I think nowadays it's just a little bit more simpler, right? To just be like, oh, we just go watch a movie or something. And then I think back then you had to get a little bit more creative because you didn't have, well, at least I think, you know, for the most part, at least I didn't have, you know, the option of a car or, you know, it's like it, everything where you had to go had to be in walking distance, you know, and you had a certain budget, right? It's not like you could, it's not like we had a weekly paycheck or anything. So I think it's just, it's one of those things that you're right, Dylan. It's very creative. Now, I will say this, though. I feel like, Dylan, in your 10-year reunion in high school, I'm sure you're going to hold that over your lab partner, aren't you?
Oh, I'm going to bring I still bring it up to her to this day, to be honest.
Well, it's good to know. It's good to know you. You do not have a very short-term memory, which worries me. but no, it's interesting though. It's interesting to hear you guys' high school days and all that stuff. How much have you guys changed from your high school selves? Or was the personality always the same? And I want to throw it to AJ because I think he's been a little too quiet.
At high school at first, like freshman year, I was kind of just a sarcastic kind of type with some people. I don't know, it just varies, but for the most part, I feel like I just been the same person, just like sweet, nice and caring, always just saying hello to like to all my classmates like every single morning, pretty much I get to see them. So just for the most part, I just kind of just really just been the same. I haven't feel like much really hasn't changed about me since leaving high school. I feel like I've just been the same. And especially I feel like the transition from high school and college is going to be different because, you know, in college there's a whole lot of new students right on campus. You're not going to just be your usual self as you would be like compared to high school, because in high school you're spending time in those classes with like mostly the same people every single day. Compared to college, you'll have a class, everyone, sure, everyone's taking the same class, but every class you have is going to be with different people. They're never going to be the same. Maybe if it's maybe like your freshman year, because I guess usually you try to like pair some of the same students with the same classes that you're taking to try to know each other, or I guess have to make friends. Because I know at Brooklyn College, that's how it was for me. Usually had a bunch of people just taking the same classes together just so to try to make some friends. But yeah, for the most part, I just kind of just been the same. Honestly, not much has changed.
Okay, interesting. Christian, has the glow up been real since high school?
I mean, looks wise, yes. personality wise, I think I say the same. I'm always just still this kind of, I don't know, just trying to be that guy that always lightens up the mood and stuff like that. So nothing really has changed on a personality level from me.
Okay, interesting. Dylan, I feel like for you, it's just, I feel like you've always been you.
I think what gets people off guard, and I guess you can kind of tell it, you know, by me just like not tweeting a lot either. I'm actually really quiet whenever you first kind of get to know me. Obviously, I'm not like that, you know, here with y'all, because obviously I've gotten to know me. Y'all know me, I'm more open. But, you know, I'm just kind of this in the sense, you know, to just stay quiet, kind of mind my own business. But, you know, if you get to know me, you know, I'll start to open up more and talk more and everything. So, I mean, in some ways, you know, I've stayed the same, but I just feel like whenever I tell people like, yeah, I'm pretty shy, I'm not very outgoing. And sometimes, you know, I just stay quiet. I think that's what throws people off whenever somebody might ask about me in a way to like know me before they actually meet me.
It's interesting because I'm the same way, right? And people tell me that all the time. Like I work there, like, you know, I'm just like, no, like if I don't know you, right, if I don't feel like I'm in a comfortable zone and a comfortable space, then I'm not going to go out of my way and start being, you know, the person that I am when I am comfortable. And I think that has always been me. In high school, kept a lot to myself when I wasn't around friends. I mean, if you start talking to me, I'll start talking to you. I'm easy to talk to. Same. You know, it's. But for me to go and start that first interaction is kind of rare. I don't really just go out to be like, hey, how's it going? How's third period going for you? You know, that's not me. And you know, there's people that are that, right? I'm like very, you know, I'm very, very much of an introvert when it comes to that. And yeah, Dylan, I feel you. People are shocked. They're like, how? Like, you know, you host a podcast, like you're on video, like how? It's like, it's just, if I feel comfortable doing it. But if you put me, because, you know, if you put me in a random classroom with just random people, I'm just going to keep to myself for the most part.
Yeah.
Actually, this podcast has actually helped me get out of that stage. I'm actually more extrovert than what I was in high school. This podcast helped me actually be the one to kind of start conversations nowadays. And so if I see someone that, you know, that I would like to, you know, get to know or talk to, have a conversation with, and I would go up and say, hey, how are you? And like, how's life or whatever. So this podcast actually helped me, I guess, grow in a sense.
Well, I'm glad one of us is taking advantage of this. Because it's still to this day, like, and props to you and props to anyone who can be like that. Because I don't know. You know, but for example, if I'm around you guys, let's say we go out, right, to a bar or something, just out, we're hanging.
Nice.
And I think Dylan can attest to this. Like, and we don't have to be drinking or anything, but if we're just kind of all.
Why are we going to a bar?
Because we're watching the game and we haven't gotten our drinks yet.
So we are going to drink.
So we are getting drinks. Just to make sure we are getting drinks.
Yeah. We're getting drinks. Yeah. AJ just got the first round. Oh,
okay, good. I like that. Okay.
If I'm around you guys and I feel comfortable, I will go and talk to other people around us, like no problem whatsoever. But if it's just me going by myself, I will not have the courage to be like, hey, like, what's going on? Like, what, you know, it's not in me, which is crazy.
But I mean, get a couple of drinks in you and that, you know, that'll
And anyone with that, I think, gets a little bit of liquid courage, you know?
That is true.
Yeah.
No, that's interesting to see kind of where the personalities are at and where we are today. It's cool to kind of have that tracking history. But seems for the most part, most of us haven't changed for the most part, at least personality wise.
It's a good thing, I guess.
It is. I think it is. Definitely when you go and reflect back on that self-growth. I do think that it's important to kind of see where you're at. But let's see. What else should we discuss? I mean, the world's falling apart.
Let's discuss how AJ became a Red Bull fan.
Oh!
Yeah, dude. How did you become a Red Bull fan and not a Chicago Fire fan like all Americanistas when Cuauhtemoc Blanco joined?
Okay. So this goes back to me just like when I first started playing FIFA. And this was at a time where I started getting into the world of soccer. So just like I always, you know, Ultimate Team, I'm always going through the Ultimate Team market just seeing like all these different players. They had some of my favorite soccer players I liked seeing, just like hearing the names like Tim Cahill, Thierry Henry, Juninho. They were all part of Red Bulls. Rafa Marquez as well. So it was like, huh. So that, like, I knew a thing or two a bit about them, but I never really focused on the MLS as much because I grew up in a family, in a household, pretty much watching the Liga MX, just America fans. That's usually where my focus has been at. We fast forward back to 6 years later, then I met two Costa Ricans, their brothers pretty much, and we got to know each other first from eSport, just watching Overwatch, and then eventually I saw they were soccer fans. I tell them I was a soccer fan too. I tell them that I'm an America fan. They're like, ah, no mames, soy chivista. I was like, soy chivista, ya no mames, güey. So, but yeah, now that they always even give the name of Oye America, and you dice que, güey. So, from there on, then when it was the Hudson River Derby, they said, like, hey, you should come through. Like, the tickets are really cheap. It was like, I think it was $20. So, I was like, sure, why not? Went to go experience my first Hudson River Derby. And then the first thing I did right there, as soon as I entered the stadium, went to the Red Bull shop, got myself a Red Bull tank top. I'm like, soy aficionado de los Red Bulls. Yeah. I've already become a Rebel fan, especially since we won that day too. And I'm like, yeah, I like them. This is the team I'll go with. Originally, I kind of like NYCFC, but that's only because of David Villa. That's essentially it, because, you know, he played in FC Barcelona. So of course I would like him. But other than that, really, then yeah, no, I always like the New York Rebels pretty much since. And it's even better that I feel like I'm more of a fan now because I'm writing articles about them in Spanish. So While I'm not watching the America game, I also take the time of my day to look up Red Bull stuff and on Twitter and talk with my friends who are Red Bull fans too and see what's going on with Red Bull. So
we gotta get AJ in contact with Naib.
Oh yeah, Naib. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He follows me actually. Like even like before like all this, Naib went on, he followed me. It was like, huh, interesting. And my friend was pretty much like already saying, You're gonna get big in the soccer world. It's like you can see me getting a job, and lo and behold, I ended up becoming a podcast in soccer, and I'm already writing for a website in soccer. And I'm like, yo, you might be onto something. You're actually kind of right.
Well, you know, keep crossing those fingers, my friend, and keep working hard. It's an interesting story, though, how you became a Red Bulls fan. I think anyone. How they become a fan of a team is pretty interesting. I mean, I think for America, at least for the three of us, I can't speak for Dylan because his situation, like I mentioned, is a whole different one. You guys can catch his whole story in his autobiography. Should be coming out next winter. At least for us, it was a generation thing. It was passed. It was handed down from our fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just kind of took the baton and went running with it. But as far as, for example, Christian, you and I were talking about the European, how we both have our little European kits on. And, you know, it's interesting how you become a fan of these teams that you have no affiliation to.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, you know, people would assume you don't have an affiliation to. But
correct.
It's an interesting one. How did you become a Real Madrid fan?
This was around middle school. When I really started getting into soccer and playing and getting into more important clubs around the island, you know, having conversations with people, they would always talk about soccer and stuff like that. So, me only knowing Club America and me trying to talk Liga Mekis with everyone else, it just wasn't gonna work because, well, number one, they probably weren't of Mexican descent, so they didn't know about Liga Mekis. Number two, they were a lot of European kids that I know about, so they follow English clubs a lot, right? So then I forgot when this one kid was bragging about defeating Real Madrid in the Champions League match, and then I started just asking questions like what is that, like what's Champions League and all that stuff, right? So then they were telling me, oh, Champions League is like this tournament and these clubs and they're the best tournament in the world, you should go watch it. Instead of whatever Mexican thing you watch. And I was like, sure, I'll give it a shot, right? So just because the name Real Madrid stuck with me because he said it, I just started looking them up on YouTube and stuff like that, and just watching videos and talking to people as I got older, how they were so called the kings of Europe, how you know they were, you know, pretty much the biggest team in Spain, you know, and you know people dream and you know want to play for Real Madrid or Barcelona. Back then, that was the ultimate goal. Like when you were a kid, you want to say, okay, one day I want to play for either of these clubs. So just the kind of thing that resembles just being that, I guess, biggest team in Europe. Just think it's kind of stuck with me. Also because we like to think that, oh, not that we know that Club America is the biggest team in North America. So just it kind of had like a correlation with that, and that's just how I just kind of just fell in love with this team.
It's crazy how just kind of these little conversations are kind of finding your way into like, what is this? What's that? Mm-hmm. You know, like AJ for once. I think FIFA has a lot to do with people finding teams. Like, for example, like Manchester United for me was because of FIFA. I was playing FIFA 2005, and you know, my cousin, he was talking about having Ronaldo on his team, right? And when he was talking Ronaldo, he was talking about the Brazil Ronaldo. And I found another Ronaldo. His name was Cristiano Ronaldo.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it came from there, right? I was like, who's this kid, Cristiano Ronaldo? Like, and then, you know, you Google him, you YouTube him. Back then, believe it or not, yes, we had YouTube. And they had some really cool videos on players. Because Jogo Bonito was coming out with some really cool ads and stuff like that. And obviously he had that Nike partnership, well, still does, right? But he had that whole Jogo Bonito stuff, and you saw him with you know, Zlatan, Cantona, and of course the whole Ronaldinho video with him hitting the post. So I just kind of fell in love with the team. I remember waking up super early in the morning, found out that I could watch a game, and I remember watching it and just kind of absorbing it, not really understanding much of it, because you know, you get what soccer is, right? You score a goal and you win. Mm-hmm. And then it was just kind of one of those things where I was like, okay, I like this team, something about it. And I just became a really big fan. And even after Ronaldo left, like, I stuck around. Like, you know, the easiest thing to do, because I was a fan of Ronaldo, was to be like, I'm jumping ship to Real Madrid, which is AKA what Gotti did. Gotti, if you're listening to this, I know your story. I know you betrayed us Manchester United fans. How dare you?
Good choice.
Actually, and it's probably still true to this day. Real Madrid. Well, you know, you really don't see her talk much about Real Madrid nowadays. You know, it's just mainly, you know, about her Leon. But back then when I first started to get to know of her, you know, she used to tweet a lot about Ronaldo and how whenever he scored during a match for Real Madrid, he would tweet out. And I really, you kind of don't see that as much. You know, you know, I know we're not at that level that we were years ago, but you know, you kind of stick through it, no?
Yeah, and that's where it was. Like, for me, it was like, you know, I clearly remember coming home. Goal TV was still the place where you got your TV.
Oh, my God. KTV, oh, good time.
I remember turning on, because I had my routine. Like, I would have, like, there was a certain news show throughout the day that I would watch. So first it'd be Goal TV, then I would turn it to ESPN Deportes, and I would turn it to Fox Deportes. But I remember turning on Goal TV when I got home. The news just kind of was going on. And obviously it broke that Ronaldo was officially moving to Real Madrid. And, you know, as a fan, I was like, I was gutted, whatever. But I stuck with it. I stuck with this team. Still, even after Ronaldo left, they gave us a lot of great memories, a lot of championships, a lot of great moments. Now we're in a very difficult situation, right? As everyone knows, the past 4 years have been for United after Fergie.
Pain.
But it's one of those things where you're just like, it's crazy that I am this vested in a club that I have no affiliation to. I don't know. And it's interesting because, Dylan, you are a Manchester United fan yourself. I do wonder what tilted your way to the northern part of the UK.
I couldn't tell you.
Chicharito.
I feel like that's a lot of people, AJ.
A lot of people, but
like for a lot of Mexicans, especially like during a time, because if I'm saying, I think he, I could be wrong, but was he the first Mexican from Chivas to be like from coming for their youth academy to then go to Europe? Is that the case? Was he the first for them?
To be honest, I don't know. You're asking the wrong people.
Wrong.
The Chivas del Norte guys, you know.
But either way, it's one of those things. Like when we saw him, like he was just making headlines, just him scoring goals and goals for Manchester United left and right. I feel like that's what made many Mexicans just look at Manchester United simply because they had a Mexican on that team, and they just stuck in there, especially when they won the league. Like I feel like those jerseys were selling left and right, and I actually have, like, I remember my dad buying me a Manchester United jersey. Even I wasn't even a fan of them. I would end up becoming an Arsenal fan later. But I saw that and I looked up his name. I was like, what?
But I will tell you this much though. It's interesting because I think a lot of fans after Chicharito left jumped ship too.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
Yeah. It's one of those things like you see, like when you follow like a favorite player of yours or every team they go to, you usually then watch that team just to see that one player play. You probably want to be a fan of that team. You're just only looking at just because, like, oh, they have so-and-so player that I like that's on that team.
But hey, that's sports for you, you know? It's definitely sports for you.
It's funny how Chicharito also played for Real Madrid as well.
Yeah. He actually did come up huge in some matches. I forget about that.
I feel like a lot of people forget about that, actually, that he actually played for Real Madrid for a season.
It's one of those things that always kept my mind. It was like, wait, did he play in Real? And I had to just Google search. I was like, oh, that's right. He did play. It was on loan. And like I mentioned, like during the time, like he came up big in some moments, didn't he, for Real in Champions League?
One moment.
Everyone will make headlines about that. At that point, they're like, hey, Real, can you sign him? And they're like, no, we're loaning.
It has been 2015, if I'm not mistaken. 2015 in a quarterfinal match against Atletico Madrid. James played a ball to a beautiful ball, actually, to Ronaldo. Ronaldo saw that two defenders were closing in. Saw Chicharito kind of broke off his marker, passed it to him, and he kind of just scored the sweaty tap-in. But it's a tap-in that sent us to the next round, though. So
That was 2015 when he was there?
2015, yes, because we won the Decima 2014. We didn't win 2015, then we won three straight after that. Okay, you know what? Let me ask a question, because I feel like we in our chat, we have a lot of differences in how we think America should play. Kind of just guides me to think, you know, everyone has a kind of a strategical mind in a sense, if you're really that passionate of soccer. So the question is, if you were a coach, doesn't matter of what team, what formation would you play? Because this actually is very interesting, because I know a lot of people who prefer this formation because you could do this, and then but people will come back and say, no, but you play this formation because this can beat that, and then it's just becomes a whole debate. So it's interesting to see where your strategical mind is in this sport.
For me, it's always been 4-3-3.
4-3-3, okay, Real Madrid.
For me, it's been 4-3 because you can get very creative in the midfield. Mm-hmm. I think that no matter what you do, you're always going to have either a center defensive mid, you can have two center defensive mids, or you can always have at least bodies on the pit, in the middle of the ballpark. You know, you're talking, if you're playing attacking, you know, you have two center mids who can just kind of float in there, and then you have your center attacking mid. You want to play a little defensive, you have a center defensive mid, you have your two center mids. Or if you want to be really, really holding it, you can have two center defensive mids and one center mid that kind of has a little bit of a liberty to go forward. And I think it's just, for me, that's always been my preferred formation, mm-hmm. a 4-3-3. Because I think you're always going to have an attacking threat, right? Because your wingers turn into strikers. Your wings also turn into, you know, potentially people that can drop back. I think it is one of the more formations that ask a lot from a winger in regards to having a lot of stamina, a lot of, you know, very good conditioning. Because I think you're going to ask for them to do a lot of running back and forth. At least in my mind, where how I'm planting my formation. But I think if you have the pieces for it, for me, that's my preferred formation.
Mm-hmm. AJ?
For me, I feel like 4-4-2 would be the position I'd like to play, because it's just one of those, it's just a balanced formation. I feel like you want to go defense, you want to go offense, or you just want to be right in between of both. You got four defenders, you got four midfielders, and you got your two forwards up front. Two forwards, just so you don't always have to have so much pressure on just one forward, where you have to give every through ball, every cross, anything that it can be. So I feel like with two, it just kind of helps out, because usually when you have like two forwards up front, they can have different kind of play styles. Maybe it could be the one who sets themselves up and maybe do like a 1-2 to the other striker that's right next to them. It kind of like reminds like Oribe Peralta, like towards the very end of his tenure in America. He didn't feel like scoring at that point. He just set the plays up just for his team to where it was up front or for midfielders. And then there goes in midfield where...
Why are you laughing, Dylan?
Just the example he uses, Oribe Peralta with America, he just didn't feel like scoring no more.
Yeah, it was towards the end. I just seen towards the end, he didn't score for, I think, almost like, what, a good year or so in that make. His homie's like, I'm just going to pass the ball. Whoever's open's like, that's for you. I don't want to score. It's like Quintero at time in America. Homie just would be so close up the goals. Like, I want to pass it out. I'm like, why? You're right there. Anyways, but then in midfield, then you have two midfielders. It can either be center attacking midfielders, pure center midfielders, or center defensive midfielders, depending on how you want to go about. Then you just have the left midfielders and the right midfielders to accompany you, who can act like wingers in a way to just go push up with your midfield. And then with the defense, centers is just two center backs, and then you have your fullbacks who can assist your defense, or they like to go up. So I kind of just like that formation. It's just especially as well, I just always see that formation, it just fits best for me, and just because in FIFA, I just always go with 4-4-2 no matter what. Every single year, FIFA, just 4-4-2.
What would you go with, Christian?
Me, I've always preferred the 4-2-3-1. Just for me, that formation just gives you a lot of security in the backfield. I think we all can attest that defense wins championships here. And when you have such a strong defensive base with the ability to go up as your right and left back kind of convert into wing backs, going up and adding that extra offensive pressure along with two wingers and a designated cam to kind of mandate everything, it just offers a lot of creativity and the ability to inject a little risk in the offense while knowing that if in some reason, in some point, you make a mistake, there is a defensive support. Because I feel in other formations that you may be caught off guard a lot. I see that a lot in the 4-3-3 with Real Madrid. Well, it could be to their play style, but they get caught off a lot, and it leads to a lot of counterattacks, and that's something that has cost us a lot of games this season. But I feel like with just two center defensive mids, you're always going to have at least four people in that backfield instead of normally having three or maybe even two sometimes.
Okay. Interesting. Dylan, what's your formation?
Eight in the back. Obviously, you have to go the bus. And then just two midfielders. You don't even have a striker. Well, I'm just going to draw my way to winning a league. Never lose a game, never win one. If we win one, I'll take it.
Dylan, having these conversations brings me back to a day where we would be live on YouTube recording our late night edition podcast. We went for hours. I think I went back to see. We went for like 2 hours once. it's crazy. And we had people watching us, which was even crazier.
Yeah,
no. Oh, man. What do you remember about those days?
Ram him,
I think is the highlight of those late night editions. It was just so unique, so genuine. Like it wasn't even staged or anything, or even thought of. It was just, I think I asked you like how was the day going. You're like, oh, I went to here, and they gave out scarves, and it was, and you presented it the way that you presented it. And I think it just all, you know, went according to the way it was supposed to go.
Oh yeah,
not us even having to stage it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, those were fun times. If you guys haven't done so, go back, take a look. You get to know a lot about Dylan and myself, and how our days were going those days. I go back and I'm just like, might they really go like that? Yeah, though, it's crazy, but. Now that Dylan brought out his water burger cup, I'm curious to ask your guys' go-to fast food.
McDonald's.
Christian,
I have to,
because AJ says McDonald's.
McDonald's is literally 5 minutes away from me. So
no White Castle.
I used to walk to one before, and that's what I would go to.
I never really like White Castle. Actually, their chicken rings are good though. Ever had
yes.
The chicken rings are good too. But actually, they're building a Popeyes right next to me. So I think I might have to switch.
Yo, okay, chicken sandwiches though.
Let me rephrase my question now. If you had to pick and make just one kind of epic meal, you can only grab one item from a chain of restaurants to make it one meal. What would that orchestrate meal look like?
Oof, Dylan, this is a question for you, buddy.
You know, the one thing I wish Whataburger would add to their menu is tater tots.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'd want a Whataburger burger with tater tots, but I just don't get that because it's either fries or onion rings.
Mm. Okay. For me, the Taco Bell nacho fries, they're actually pretty delicious.
Trash.
There you go. What are you talking about? Wait, nah, you're the same one that was looking at my tacos de bias. It looks trash. And then you come up there with like legendary truth. Yeah. I'm like, you might as well go to Taco Bell for that. Stop.
What did I have on my taco?
It was like, I think it was sour cream, lettuce, tomatoes, and then the meat. And then you're
I did not send you that.
It was in the chat. No. Venga con esa vaina.
We gotta pull receipts now. We gotta pull receipts.
No, venga con esa vaina.
I'm a very simple guy though. You know, chicken nuggets and fries are pretty much all I ever eat at McDonald's anyway. So
Dude, that's just like the perfect combo for me.
Listen, there's nothing about these.
I sent you these. You can't see it on the screen though right now, but I sent these. This does not look like no fucking sour cream.
Yo, stop. It's
tomato. Bro, no.
Uh-oh. We're about to get exposed here. Well, not really me because I didn't say anything.
I'm looking. I have yet to see
any type of... What the fuck is that? What is that?
That is not me. No, wait. No.
That was you.
That's not even fucking tomatoes. What are you saying?
What do you even wait? Whatever the fuck
was on those
tacos. What do you see sour cream?
Whatever chingadera is that? What is that? Lechuga? Lechuga? Nah, bro.
I can't have cilantro on my tacos?
Okay.
No, cilantro is acceptable.
Cilantro's fine, but lechuga, what?
Where do you see lettuce? There's no
lettuce. Yeah, that's cilantro.
That's cabbage.
Cualquiera. Why would you have that?
If you're having a fish taco, then that makes sense.
That ain't no fish there. I'm pretty sure there's none underneath.
Dylan getting exposed out here for his tacos. You love to hear it.
Just to welcome your friends again. What's everyone's preference of taco here?
Like, favorite meat?
Favorite meat. Mm-hmm.
Chorizo. Oh.
I don't know, AJ. I don't know how chorizo could be for you. Out of all the meat options, you go with chorizo, dude.
Like chorizo is definitely my second, but al pastor is my first. But chorizo is definitely not down there as a lot of people would put it there, because I know people would put all these other things first and then chorizo last.
Okay, for me,
but for me, it's al pastor and then chorizo, and then comes everything else.
I'm so used for chorizo. Like, I guess this is just a Texas thing, but I'm so used to having like chorizo, like just for like breakfast, like chorizo and eggs, chorizo and egg burrito.
I feel like the with chorizo, because like there's different versions of chorizo. Because there's one time I had a chorizo taco where they're like, it didn't look like chorizo, it was like chopped up bits of the chorizo. And I'm like, this is not the one that I think, where they usually just like mash it up completely. Yeah. So it's a small bit. But then there's other places they put like chorizo con papa, which I guess is from the health of you.
That's where the sour cream's from.
Chorizo con papa, good. I like chorizo con papa.
But
not on a taco though. I can't have it on a taco.
So like the thing with that is, I guess it's this to take up the juice of the chorizo. But that's the best part of the chorizo. It's the juices, because that's what makes it so delicious.
AJ, since you're a chorizo lover here, do you like it like a little bit burnt? Because I love my chorizo like a little bit burnt.
Like when it's like crunchy.
When it's crunchy. Nah, yeah, yeah. Uh-uh. Really,
nah,
you don't?
Nah, wow, I don't. Okay. Well, like never it mind. Varies. Canceled. Like.
Can't think. Cancel. Never mind. Next. Ivan, go.
I just don't know how you guys, because chorizo. You know what sounds really good? Like when you think chorizo, for me, like a huarache de chorizo sounds so good.
Or wait, you guys ever had a sopa de chorizo?
Yeah, like that sounds good.
Yeah,
that sounds delicious.
It is amazing. Actually,
if you're telling me I can only get four tacos, chorizo is not gonna be on there. It's not even gonna be my top 10. I'll tell you that straight up.
Wow, no,
it's not even gonna be my top 10.
See, that's where we just can't agree. What is your number one then? You haven't told us.
I'm such a basic bitch. I will get just
Carne asada.
Yeah. Okay. Well, bistec is the same thing.
Yes. Uh huh. Yes.
Please, whoever goes down to Mexico and you don't want people to know that you're from the U.S., don't go to a taco stand and ask for carne asada. Then they will know exactly where you're from.
Bistec.
Stay bistec, or else you'll be
crucified, son.
Yeah. Your cover will be blown, mm-hmm. and there. But yes, bistec. I don't know. I mean, I like lengua. Cabeza is really good.
I hate lengua.
Pastor is really good.
Nice.
My father loves lengua.
It's good. Dylan can attest to that.
Yeah, that's what my tacos are. But AJ's over here calling me out on some bullshit that he can't even. I have no evidence. I mean, I go to
cilantro.
I go to the same taqueria every time, and I ask for lengua tacos de lengua, and then they put obviously the lengua, then they put cabbage, and they put cilantro. Maybe
you should go into your own office.
And then they give me like a red chile, and then they give me a green chile, and I put both of those and I squeeze my lime on them.
So that's next question: red salsa verde or salsa roja?
Oh, green, 100%.
The thing is, I like putting both on my tacos.
Unless it's chipotle, I like chipotle's red sauce better.
Chipotle is good.
Chipotle is really good.
You guys put guac on your tacos?
No.
No, but I know that like if I go down to TJ and ask for tacos, they definitely will put guac on there. And put guac
on the side.
I was like, no, on the taco.
Oh, you put it on? Oh no, I asked for all my sauces on the side just so I can.
No, like they just they taco and like they grease up the tortilla with like and they put the meat and then they just like put their cilantro, cebolla, the sauce, and then guac. I'm just like, I didn't ask for that, but. You guys continue.
Okay. No, I mean that's it. I mean I just don't want to get slander from my tacos because apparently I'm
back to your office. Go to your office.
Okay.
There's no lettuce.
So off the taco conversation now we're talking Mexican food. What's another Mexican dish that you guys would love if tacos was excluded from your life?
Birria? I'd say
menudo. I like menudo.
Menudo, pozole.
I like birria.
You like pozole?
Never had pozole in my life, actually.
What?
Nope.
What?
I'm Dylan. Picky.
I take menudo over pozole.
You never had pozole in your life before?
Nah, me. Never had it.
I just think what caught me off guard, which I didn't know, I think I had this conversation with Gary and Ivan. Ivan. I didn't know there was, like, different color. Like, there was a green pozole. There was, like, a white pozole.
Well, everything's just white. It's just the sauce that you add to
it. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, that's where I got confused.
Okay. Wait, AJ, what is it about pozole that you don't like?
No, it's just me just being a really picky eater. Because I'm what is all...
You don't like it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna like it. I think just with the stuff that has in there, I'm like, yeah, no.
Eh. What does it have in it that you might not like?
Mention everything. No, like say like what's in a pozole that's usually in there.
Well, I mean, there's obviously the chicken that I have in there. Mm-hmm. Put a little bit of chicken in there, the sauce, the cilantro, the cebolla, el diente that goes in there too as well. It's all good stuff.
Is there like peas in there, like chickpeas in there, like in that?
I've never had chickpeas in my pozole.
Because there, I think that's why I see from someone. Some people told me, I was like, I'm not gonna like it. If you mention as is, then I'm like, I might like actually just give it a try. Open the new stuff because like I'm gonna tell you, I know. Here's the thing. Was it last year? Yeah, actually, I had tamale for the first time last year.
A tamale for the first time. What the fuck?
My guy's gonna eat his pozole tamale with lettuce and sour cream on top of it.
Shut up!
Oh my goodness!
Yo, nah, chief, ain't it? All right, let me BRB because my iPad's about my MacBook's about there. I'm gonna join on the iPad.
Yo, what's about to die?
Nah, I'm about to join on here on the iPad, like on StreamYard, because MacBook's about to die.
All right, sir. Texas Roadhouse, ever been there?
I have been to Texas Roadhouse, but nothing compares to like a good old barbecue place like
Cooper. Oh, definitely not. Yeah, no,
I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I like to go to Texas Roadhouse. I think everybody likes to go for the bread and cinnamon butter.
Yes,
exactly. I think they got some great food, some decent food. But like, if I had to choose something like a Cooper's over Texas Roadhouse,
those small businesses are always gonna be like hit more at home just because.
Oh yeah.
Small and compared to Texas Roadhouse was just a little bit more, I guess, in a commercial sense.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, great food though. AJ, do you like pulled pork?
Never had it.
What the hell?
Oh my goodness.
That's it.
So food definitely not a strong suit of yours, AJ. And okay.
I took him off. That was it. Yeah.
That was the last straw.
That was the last shot. Okay. First it was my tacos, man. Come on,
slandering the tacos.
Yeah, slandering my tacos. Like, yeah. I don't see where you see sour cream, but that's his eyes. Apparently, maybe he needs some glasses. But he's still muted. See, he's
still muted. AJ, is was there sour cream on Dylan's tacos?
Let me look back at it just to make sure my eyes are not deceiving me. Either way, they'll just look like an ugly ass taco.
I'm telling you, there's no sour cream.
Unbelievable.
In terms of Mexican food, though, in Texas, I do want to go down to the Rio Grande Valley and try Mexican food down there.
Try Mexican food, yeah.
Because I mean, I'm not saying it's not, but like, you know, just from what I read on Twitter from people I follow that live down there, you know, whether they work in news or just whatever, you know, they're saying like that's the king of Mexican food. It's down there in the valley, and so yeah. You know, I'm just like dying to go down there eventually and, you know, try something out or, you know, whatever. But yeah, I'm excited for that. Hopefully,
definitely. Where AJ is from, actually, here in New York City, Brooklyn's kind of considered like the place to go for Mexican food. They have two great spots. I'm pretty sure AJ is very familiar with Matamoros and El Bronco. Yes. So definitely food from there is definitely king. I know during obviously in this pandemic right now, going for takeout over there, I had to wait almost an hour and a half to get my order just because they were just backed up on every single thing. So there's definitely some good Mexican spots. The only thing that sucks is I have to pay a toll to go get there because I have to cross a bridge and it's not that far from me. It's only 20 minutes away from me, but to pay $20 in toll just for food, it seems a little bit absurd. But whenever I'm in the mood and I feel like spoiling myself a little bit, I'll head down there.
If you want Tex-Mex, now these are the AJ. Ooh, Tex-Mex. I'm telling you right now, these are the tacos you get with, you know, your tomatoes, your lettuce, your
salad. Yes.
You know, okay. I'm still talking. So if you want that and just Tex-Mex in general, king of Tex-Mex in Texas is San Antonio.
So here's the thing, like, it's go with some stuff. You should have like my less and less tomatoes, like tacos, like with heart shell, like San Loco here in New York. That's what it is, like Tex-Mex. Like, you have a bit. If it's like on a tortilla, whatever, I'm like, yeah, we cannot have that. That's a hard pass for me.
Apparently, I had that though, but I didn't. So.
I don't know. Tex-Mex for me has never been a go-to or like something I look forward to eating. I don't know. I feel like there's other things that can fill my appetite than Tex-Mex.
Oh no, for sure. But I'm just saying, like, you know, I think, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions with Mexican food here in Texas because, you know, obviously. I think a good example is Shea Serrano. You know, he posts a lot of stuff and he said Mexicans are perfect and like this is great Mexican food. But obviously, like, I look at it and I'm from Texas and I could just tell right off the bat that, like, no, like that's Tex-Mex. That's not Mexican food. So
yeah.
I mean, there's just a lot of misconceptions because I mean, 100%. You know, I mean, because you come out here to the Permian Basin, like even if you just keep going west to El Paso and like I already talked about the valley, like you're going to find like real Mexican food. It's not going to be Tex-Mex, but you know, it's just whenever like Shay does that, you know, that just kind of leaves a big misconception for us.
Definitely. I don't think that's even a Texas thing. I think that's just nationwide because here as well, they tell me, oh, listen, I went to this great Mexican spot or whatever. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, really, what do you have? And then they start naming all these things and what the ingredients they have. And I'm like, yeah, that's not really Mexican food. That's more of a Tex-Mex thing. And then they're like, oh, so this is like if I go to Mexico, this is not what we're going to eat. I'm like, no, definitely not. Yeah. 100%, the complete opposite, actually.
Yeah.
And then I start naming what we would normally eat. And then they're just like, that seems a little bit bland. And I'm like, it's not really that bland because it's just, I guess we're just so used to like the flavors and like how we were raised and we're just more accustomed to the ingredients that go on traditional Mexican food than what they have. But yeah, definitely. I think that misconception is, I think, nationwide, honestly.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. It's just it's just to me, it's just like a culture too for me. In a sense, you know, I kind of live out too, because obviously, I have, my Mexican heritage, my family comes from Mexico, obviously. And so like, you know, I have that food, but then like, you know, I also live like a Texas culture, you know, where, you know, Tex-Mex is kind of, reigns king in a lot of part of the states and not in the state, but within the state.
Mm-hmm. So AJ, what's your take on Tex-Mex? Do you like it?
I mean, I've tried some of the food from it. It's pretty delicious. It's nice. Mm-hmm. It's something I'd have, depending on the day, really. If there's, like, nothing else that I really want, and Tex-Mex is something there, then sure, I'd have some.
Now, how, when you guys order Chinese takeout, what do you guys get?
Oh,
no, you guys are not going to jump to Chinese.
What's your opinion on Tex-Mex, Yvonne?
Well, I want to revert a little bit earlier to the conversation you guys were having about pozole.
I forgot you had us in your ear the whole time.
That is my favorite. In my ear the whole time. I just bought dinner for the for the family, so I was doing that right now. Pozole is my favorite dish of all time. Like, I will eat it if it's 110 degrees or if it's -5 degrees. I will eat that nonstop. Yet I'm so basic when it comes to my pozole, and I know there's so much stuff, but for me it's just it's I don't even put lettuce or anything. I put I like the salsa.
Yes.
It's like this red salsa. You put it on. I add a little bit of tapatio, and then I add tajin, and that is how. And of course, limon and everything, but. That is my, I don't really put any like oregano. Sometimes I'll put it just, you know, add a little bit more flavor. But
I love a little oregano in mine. Definitely. Definitely just squeeze a little lemon in it to give it a little bit, more of a sweeter taste.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people think I'm crazy for putting tahini.
I've never heard that before, actually.
But you have to try it. You have to try it in order to give it. Like, I put tahini on my Super Maruchan too. People thought I was crazy, and they tried it.
My Super Maruchan. People call me crazy. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, right? So I was like, what the fuck? But yeah, I've never heard of. I put tahini on my fruit. I just never put it in like on a pozole or a Super Maruchan, though.
Next time you do, try it.
I will. You know, see, that's one thing that I think all of us can agree that I can't say I don't like it if I've never tried it. You know, that this doesn't make sense, you know? Like, but definitely, if you say it's good and you give good recommendations, I'll try it. I mean, what can hurt? I don't eat it again, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. Give it a shot. But going back to the first question, which was the Tex-Mex, huge shout out to our good friend, Ricky, who lives out in Dallas. Dylan, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Took us to Dick Rick. Shout out to my man. Took us to this, amazing place. What was it called, Dylan?
Oh, Pecan Lodge?
Not the Pecan Lodge, where we went on Sunday.
Oh.
We went to have...
I don't remember where that was. I don't remember what it was.
I can't remember the name, but Jesus, was that good buffet? Tex-Mex. it was a buffet of Tex-Mex. Just pure Tex-Mex.
I think I went back for like three different plates.
And we were embarrassed at one point. We're like, we're the only ones getting back to back to back. Like, do we have to chill for a second? But great food. I think it has a lot of negative connotation because people don't think of it as actual Mexican food, right? And it's gotten this kind of negative connotation of like, oh, that's just an imposter Mexican food. Mm-hmm. But I think in the sense, if you truly go and accept it for what it is, then it's good. If you find good Tex-Mex, it's good Tex-Mex, you know? Mm-hmm. But, that's what I have on Tex-Mex before we start jumping into Chinese food, because Chinese food is really good, too.
You see, I'll say this to start off Chinese food. I have yet to really find a good Chinese spot in Texas.
Okay, and okay. I agree with that.
I believe you, actually. And the only place I really, really go to... but I don't go often is maybe like a Panda Express, but obviously that's just like fast food. But like, I can't find a good spot unless like I go visit my family in Las Vegas or like we drive out to California. Like from like there, like, you know, I'm pretty basic when it comes to Chinese food still, but like, you know, like,
yeah, me too.
They're like, you know, I'll chow down on it. No problem. Like, you know, I like it, but like, I'm not like crazy about it though. Like I won't go too crazy. Like I said, I'm basic.
Yeah, I'm basic too. Don't worry.
I think I don't know. And this is why I would love it for you guys to come down to California, because I think the palate taste of what you guys would get here, not just Chinese food, but I think Mexican food as well. Like I really truly want our tacos to go head to head with what you guys have had, because I think Dylan can attest to this, because Dylan, you've had tacos from LA. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a game changer.
You see, but the thing is, like, I don't know if you remember what I was telling Christian. I think AJ slipped away for a second too. But you know, it's just you have so many different parts of Texas. Like, obviously, you have North Texas, you have the Panhandle. Obviously, here I am, you know, in the Permian Basin. You have the Rio Grande Valley, which a lot of people say is the king of Mexican food, and you know, the best tacos you're gonna get. And I haven't had that, so I mean, it's kind of hard for me to make that a comparison, because you go to all these different places, and you know, they're all gonna be different.
Okay, no, that's it. That's a fair, valid point. But like I said, I truly want you guys to come down over here, because we have great Chinese food, we have great Mexican food. I mean, we have some really good food down here.
And the Lakers.
I don't know. Huh?
And the Lakers.
We do. We have the Lakers, baby. Let's go. Which hopefully are going to be back to their continuously winning ways. We'll see. But, you know, I will say this, though. I don't think we have the best steak here. I'm sure that New York definitely and Texas rule that department. But we have some pretty good food. So I'm excited for when you guys come down. There's a lot of good places to try out. So many things.
I think talking about steak, Dylan, this is a conversation you wanted to have. This is a conversation I think we had with Gotti and Tom.
We did.
But I think Dylan wants to revisit it, because I think it's interesting to see how people eat their steak. So AJ, we'll start off with you. How do you have your steak?
Well done.
Oh, come on, man.
That was the last strike,
AJ. I'm sorry. You're officially on Dylan's bad side.
Yeah, for real. I was about to say that. You and Dylan just became worse enemies after that.
No, you can't let a perfectly good piece of meat that came from a cow that sacrificed its life to fucking eat it well done. Like, what the fuck?
Everyone fucking roasts me for having everything well done. You my burgers. Yeah, now I'm out. At this point,
It's okay, AJ. Have you tried it? Have you tried it any other way? Or are you afraid not to?
It's just for like for the health purposes. But I just like it well done. Just don't like the juice. Just don't like having like you know like.
We're gonna go to a steakhouse. I'm gonna give you a peace of mind, because I think I fall into a very good well balance. I think you'll like it. I'll give you a peace of mind. If you don't like it, you never have to eat it again. But at least you have to try it. All right, one piece is not going to be the end of the world. Understood. Okay, well, AJ's definitely already just completely messed this segment up.
Just like I messed up the America games. I got you.
Oh, AJ, there's much to learn, young Padawan. Much to learn. But now I revert the question to you, Christian. How do you like your steak?
Medium well.
That's where I was going to. Yeah, I like mine medium well.
That's the one under well done, right?
Yeah.
Right? That's the one before. Yeah, okay, yeah. That's how I like it, yeah.
Medium well. Mm-hmm. You want a little bit of pink in there?
Just a little bit. Not too much. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I've had it. I've had it well done. That's how I normally have had it. Until one day, like you said, I tried medium well. They were like, listen, you're eating it wrong. I'm like, how am I eating this wrong? It's food, no? Yeah, but there's different ways of eating it. I'm like, really? Yes, just try this. And I was like, okay, I'll try it. So I got the piece. I did it with, you know, I put whatever I needed to put on it, and I ate it, and I was like, oh crap, this is 10 times better. What the hell? What have I been missing? So ever since then, I've had it medium well.
Dylan?
Medium.
Medium. That is the true Texan right there.
All right. All right, Dylan. Now I'm curious now. What is it about medium that attracts you so much to it?
To me, it's I don't know, it just tastes right. Like for a long time I always used to eat it medium well, and you know, I just started eating it more and more and more. I'm just like, man, like, you know, it's not really juicy, it's not really tender, it's just kind of a little stiff, you know. And it's just there, like there's nothing like great about it anymore. And so I knocked it down, like, okay, let's go medium. And like just right there, like it's just perfect for me. Like depending on how it's cooked though, too, it can't just be any steak, obviously. Because like, you know, like I said, I like it juicy. I like it, you know, tender, you know, like I like it soft, you know, to where when I cut into it, you know, it's just going to cut just nice and crisp, you know, and I don't have to like kind of like force myself right there, like, you know, just like, oh, like cut this bitch, you know,
yeah,
you know, like a medium well, or well done. So, to me, like medium is just like right there for me.
What do you like?
That's gotta be our next evolution.
Yeah. I was about to say, what do you like? A nice ribeye, a nice flank steak, a nice T-bone.
I like a good ribeye. I really do. I like a ribeye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's gotta be a ribeye for me.
Yeah,
I heard you guys talking earlier about pulled pork.
Oh yes, pulled pork.
Oh, yes.
We love pulled pork.
AJ, you got to get some.
Oh yes, AJ, you have to get some. Oh my goodness.
I think once we all get together, we're definitely gonna open AJ's palate into, you know, a whole different world, because there is a lot of stuff that we've mentioned that you haven't tried and you got to, man. Pulled pork is definitely on the top 10 list right there.
From the right place.
Yeah, obviously, but I think it's interesting though, the development of Dylan's you know, steak eating, that I think we eventually have to go there, Christian. I think, like you mentioned, we have to try a medium.
Yeah, no, I'll try a medium. Why not? If I don't like it, I'll give it to Dylan. I'm pretty sure Dylan will eat it.
Like, Dylan,
you ain't gotta tell me twice.
Yeah. So yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Now that you were going with that, and I'll let you carry on, but I do want to have this conversation. I think it'd be interesting for people to hear this story, or at least this game that you played, Christian, which I think is a really fascinating one, and then it really speaks to the person that you are. Talk to me more about this, you know, kind of Russian roulette that you and your close friends do at a restaurant where you guys...
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Credit card roulette. Credit,
yes. Card roulette. Talk, yes, to me more, boy, about this, because I have questions.
Yeah. So go to a restaurant with obviously your group of friends, your close friends, right? And, you know, I don't do this with this group because, like I said, this is a group that I've been hanging out with for like the majority of my life. So we're all close like that. So go to a restaurant, 6-7 of us. We order our stuff or whatever. So then the bill comes. Bill comes usually to around maybe upwards of $400, maybe. Sometimes.
That's my question.
That $400 bill would probably happen maybe once or twice. Thank God I didn't get it. Normally, though, on average, though, the bill's not, maybe just barely hits 200, maybe. And that's just maybe. Rather like around the 170, 180. But bill comes, whatever. We'll leave it at 200 in the middle. $200. So we're like, okay, who's going to pay? Right? So we're like, okay, you know, let's just take out our credit cards. We put it in a pile. And then we ask it's usually a waitress that comes over and says, okay, how you guys want to pay? And we'll say credit card. She's like, okay, which one? And then we were like, okay, no, that's where you come in. I'm like, geez. And then everyone's like, oh, okay, that's fine. So, cause they know what's going to happen. So, one of us holds up the cards, kind of in a card way. And then we tell her, just pick one. And then whichever one she picks, that person has to pay for the whole meal. it happened to me once. Wasn't that bad, maybe like $140, but it's not that bad actually. It's bad when you have to pay two times in a row or three times in a row in that. But after one person got it twice, we told each other that, okay, that person doesn't have to pay for the next one, you know. So like we go 1, 2, 3, 1 and 2 I pay, that means I don't my card doesn't get inserted for number 3, so that means like one of you guys would have to pay. So everyone usually has to pay. It's just it's a fun game we like to play, though. It's a stressful one. Stressful one for sure, but it's definitely fun, and we always get a kick or two out of it.
That just sounds a lot of fun, and then it's fascinating, because to me, when you tell me this story, and when you first told me this story, I was blown away by the creativity, one, of you guys doing that. Mm-hmm. It really speaks to how close that you guys are, which is great.
Yeah.
Two, the pressure that is put on the waitress.
Oh yes.
Like, I want to know what's going through her mind. Like she is the deciding fate of whoever's card she chooses.
Yeah. But like the thing is with us, like we know not to go overboard, because like, you know, some people that I know go out and then they start ordering this and that, like stuff that they don't even touch at the end of the night, or they order an excessive amount of drinks. We're not like that. We know that we go there, we get our dish, we get like a little appetizer that we all agree on. Then we get like our respectively like two to three drinks, and then that's it. You know, we're never the ones to like abuse of us not having to pay, because you know one person's meal could be more than another, so it's not really fair, you know. But you know, it doesn't happen a lot because we don't really go out like that as a friend group a lot. But when it does happen, it's just a little fun game to play.
And card, you know, roulette.
Yeah, so
I like it. I like it. We're definitely gonna do it. I have a feeling Dylan's gonna lose.
On Dylan, so whatever.
On Dylan.
I mean, I don't make much as a journalist, guys. So I mean, we probably need to start washing dishes as soon as my card's paid.
Bet.
You guys want to know the funniest story? It's true. It's a true story. I can't tell you where we were, but we were at an establishment. It was me and my two coworkers. We went out for the night.
All right, guys, I just realized I didn't put up my groceries. Oops.
No, boss.
I'll be back.
Wait, hold up. Let the story go. I promise you it's not going to take long, and then you can go.
Okay.
So we...
Harry, the meat's rotten.
Oh, God. So we're out. We're
going to... Out with the guy.
Drinks. And then supposedly my friend... It's Friday. We just got paid, right? So my coworker was like, order what you guys want. First one's on me. So we ordered. He gave the card to the bartender, and then he left because he had to go to the restroom. Bartender chick comes back. He's still in the restroom. She's like, "Hey guys, I'm sorry, but the card declined." And I was like, "Oh God!" So I was like, "Jesus Christ!" I was like, "It's fine." So I gave her my card, whatever, right? And so he comes back, he's like, "Oh, cool, you guys got your drinks and all that stuff, right?" Like, he feels all great and everything that he paid for it. And I was like, "All right, look, man, here's the deal. your card declined. So you might want to start checking up on that because we just got paid today, my guy." He's like, "What, are you serious?" And so he checked. And then, so the reason the card got declined was because of the place where we were at. It wasn't a usual hangout spot for him. So obviously, you know, they were like, "Why is he here? He doesn't really go here." And the decline and everything. But it was just one of those nights where it was just like, it's one of those awkward moments where you're just like, "It's okay, I got it."
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna put up this stuff, and then I have a question that I want to ask y'all in terms of, like, you know, somebody buying y'all something at a bar or something. Right. Yeah, but let me do this first.
You know what? That's actually something I kind of let's talk. Now we're on the topic of bars or whatever. I've only really been to a bar maybe 3 times in my life. Yeah, 3 times. I'm about to be 22, and I think I'm about to be 22. And I would think I've been there 3 times, and I think those 3 times happened like in 3 consecutive weeks. So and that was pre-COVID. That was like around like January, December-ish. So yeah, I've never really been to a bar like that, you know.
I'm trying to think if I've ever been to a true bar. Because I've gone out and you go like, "Oh, let's go have some drinks," but eventually you go get the drinks and it's kind of more like, it's not a bar, it's more like a night club type of thing.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Drinking. But it's not an actual bar, because I think a bar is a whole different atmosphere, all that stuff.
I don't know if I've truly
been at a bar.
I mean,
okay, so I want to go wine tasting.
Oh, yeah, that's something I definitely want to do. Wine tasting is definitely on my bucket list. I know there's a place in Jersey that it's like the king of wines over there, so I definitely have to check it out. But before Dylan tells his story, I need to know your preference of beer when you go to a bar.
Oh, dude, it's Modelo.
Modelo, okay. Dylan?
Shinerbug, dude. Shinerbug, yeah.
I can attest to that.
Is it good? I never had one. Is it good?
I mean, it doesn't. You don't have that dark beer taste to it.
Okay.
It's smooth, and in some ways, it tastes like caramel a little bit. I don't know if you like caramel. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind it.
Yeah. It's not heavy on the dark beer taste. You can taste it a little bit, but like. It's not that bad.
Yeah,
it's smooth. Mm-hmm. So,
I prefer Modelo too. That's definitely my choice. But a close second is definitely Blue Moon.
Blue Moon's a summer beer for me, dude.
Blue Moon is definitely a beer that I can drink. Orangey for me. I can drink it. Really? No.
Too orangey for me.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people say.
For me, it gets too orangey for me, like after two or three. Like,
this really? Should, really? No. I can drink a whole six just with no problems at all.
No. It's more like a summer beer for me.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely hits. I think old beer hits different in the summer, you know?
Yeah.
AJ, I'm asking you because I know of you.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
So, Dylan, continue with your story, my friend.
Oh, okay. It's not really a story.
Oh, the question. Yeah, the question.
Yeah, it's more of a question. Okay, so, like, obviously, like, Ivan said that his friend was going to pay for the first round for the drinks when they went out. But, like, let's just say, like, a Christian, a good example is whenever I do card roulette. Mm-hmm. Like, you know you're going to do card roulette. But like just in general too, this question, but if you're going out to eat with somebody and they're going to pay for it and you know they're going to pay for it, maybe it's common sense too, and obviously with our society it's just obvious to do this, but do you try to get like the least expensive meal in a way? Like do you try to like keep yourself like on a little budget for yourself on eating whenever somebody's going to pay for it?
Definitely. And to my point where I made earlier, when I said to talk about my friends and we were like we all know what to get. We all get a dish, a little bit of appetizers or whatever, or drinks, and that's that. But definitely though, when it comes to like, I guess appetizers in a sense, I tend to not get one, only because I know that's another. Well, I don't know how it is for you guys over there, but for us, like an appetizer costs maybe upwards of $15 for one. Yeah, I know it gets expensive after a little bit. So just to me, and if I know I'm not paying, I tend to just not get one, just go with my dish. And if obviously if the person, if I see the bill's a little bit pricier at the end, I'll always offer, can I give you this much or whatever, just to cover this or whatever. But I'm definitely more of that mindset too, that like I try to lower the budget in a sense.
I understand where Christian's coming from, because I'll do something similar. If I know that they're gonna pay for someone for me, I try to go to a place where I know at least the bill won't come up high, right? Like for me, that's like okay, like they'll be like, oh, let's go get something to eat. It's my treat. I'm like, fuck it, let's go to McDonald's. Like, we'll go get chicken nuggets.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I'm definitely like that. Yes,
right. I'm not gonna be like, mm-hmm. Let's go to freaking Olive Garden or Applebee's or like Chili's or stuff like that, right? Because I know the price is gonna be higher. I've come from a very struggling family that I know how difficult it has been to even fathom going out,
right,
and paying for something mm-hmm. upwards than $40, $50, $60, right? You talk about California, Christian, you know how when you talked about those appetizer prices, I was like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, not for you, Dylan. No, what's the normal appetizer price?
It must
for you?
Be nice.
shoot. I'm trying to think because it just kind of depends on the place too, obviously. Mm-hmm. And obviously what's on their menu for an appetizer. But I think, if you go to a Mexican restaurant, for example, and you want like chips and queso. I don't know. I mean, like, it, to me, it's still pretty pricey, but it's not like upwards of $15, but like it's like $6 maybe. Chips.
It's reasonable.
Yeah. I think to my aspect, because we were talking about going out, I thought we were talking about like a little bit more of fancier places in a sense.
That's where my head
goes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
But like for me, that's what I try to avoid if someone is.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm,
right. Because if you flip it around, if I'm paying, I'm like, just get whatever you want. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because it's just like, I know what it was. Because I know what it was like. Like all my friends in high school, they had like an allowance, right? Like they would have like 20, 40 bucks with them, whatever. And I had nothing. Mm-hmm. And they'd invite me to go out. And I was like, I don't have any money. And I didn't want to go out. And stuff, but they would go and they'd treat me, and we'd go to Taco Bell, and I would always just get the value meal, because I knew that at most it was going to come out to like
3. Listen, I think all of it, but everyone's head nodding. I think we're all on the same boat. I think we've all been there at one point.
Yeah. So it was, for me, it was always like, just, you know, I was like, and it always felt like, you know, a bit uncomfortable. So that's why now that I can go, like, and we'll go out and it's like, I'll get it. Or like, you mm-hmm. know,
definitely.
If we go somewhere like now that I actually have something and I actually, you know, make a decent amount of cash for myself, I'm just like, you know, if we're going out, like, don't even bother. Like right now, like, you know, like my dad was like, oh, let me give you my card. Like, no, I got it. Like, don't even worry about it. Like, you know, it's on me. Like, it doesn't matter, like, what that price is. At the end of the day, get what you want. Be happy with it. If you like it, get it. Cool. And that's it. Don't even think about the prices. And I think we've had this conversation before, too, when we talked mm-hmm. to our very good friends, Miss Gotti and Tom. And when mm-hmm. I tell them, like, you know, and they're like, oh, my God. They're like, I don't know if we would get something like this. I was like, don't even look at the prices. Look at the food.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, just don't worry about it.
My mom always said to me, like, about the price, she's like, are you going to eat the money or are you going to eat the food? Like, what is it? And it's like the food. She's like, yeah, so, like, don't worry so much about the money then. You need to, like, eat because it's important for you. You need food. So just get what you want and that's it. Don't worry about the price. And then later on, I was like, you're right, actually. Just get what you want. Yeah. Go in.
Yeah. If I learned anything, it was from my padrino, because he would sometimes invite us out to eat, like, you know, and we knew when he was there, he was paying. So he was always like, he's like, don't even look at the prices. He's
yeah.
Like, no. For what? He's like, just get what you want.
Definitely. I think I'm on the same boat with you, Ivan. I think growing up, I wasn't definitely, well, my family, in a sense, all of us weren't really in the best financial position. Growing up, I'm blessed to say that, you know, I think like all of us that, you know, we make a decent amount of income to do what we can do now, like go out and have a good time, I guess. And even sometimes even get the bill for everybody. And it's definitely the people I surround myself with that also have been through the same struggle. So I think it's just, you know, easier for us to kind of enjoy the night more than kind of just like dwell upon on, oh, okay, damn, you know, I only have this much money, so I only could afford this and this. So it's definitely something that it's a privilege. It's definitely a blessing to be able to say, listen, I can get the bill this time, or I can pay for you this time. Don't worry about it. So I guess just growing up and experiencing what you already know and applying it to just grow yourself is definitely a valuable thing in life.
It is. And it's such a simple thing as food, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's a shame because a lot of people, you know, aren't in the position that, you know, we are now. But like you say, Ivan, though, we weren't always in this position, right? So it definitely feels a little bit better now knowing that I'm able to do some of these things, you know?
Definitely, dude. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with you. But gentlemen, I think we've kind of run our course a little bit here. We definitely have to definitely do this again. Hopefully people enjoyed the conversation. I think there's a lot of stuff to talk about. But thank you guys for coming out. It was very random. Like, you guys have no idea how spontaneous this conversation just happened to make. But thank you guys. Any last words before we kind of sign off?
No.
Okay. Wear your mask. Wear your mask. We're still in the pandemic.
Stay safe. And all those people out there are celebrating Biden's win kind of scares me, even though they're wearing masks.
Yeah, it is a little scary. But hey, this was great. We have to do it more. It's a great way for the listeners to get to know us, and it's a great way for us to get to know each other even more. Even though you guys think we know everything by now, but we don't. Every day we find something new about each other. But that does it for us. I hope you guys enjoyed this little extra edition of the Eagle Eye Podcast, and we'll be talking to you guys very, very soon, gentlemen. We have a little bit of a vacation because of the Ligia. Not me and AJ though. We have quite the week coming up for America Feminine. We also have a Clásico in a couple of days as well. So. With that said, I hope you guys have a wonderful night. Wear your masks, stay safe, and as always, you guys are amazing. Good night now.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English.
Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.